This is the Truth Network. Matt Slick is president and founder of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. Matt is a Master of Divinity and is ordained. He's passionate, and Matt stands firm and lives to defend and promote the Christian faith. Matt Slick doesn't take any Monday through Friday, Matt takes calls from all around the world on his radio show. We've compiled this week's best. Matt Slick's Top 6.
Number 6.
I heard this pastor say that there is nowhere in the Bible that says give 10%.
Yes, there is.
And so
in the
I was wondering. Okay.
Well, yeah, tithing is 10% and tenth of. That's what a tithe means. But that's in the Old Testament. There is nothing in the New Testament that obligates us to do that. Because when Jesus was crucified and that he died, in Hebrews 8:13, Hebrews 9:15 through 16, it talks about the new covenant coming in with the death of Christ. And so the new covenant does not require tithing. So we don't have to tithe. We're free to tithe. Before, in the Old Testament, was obligatory. You had to do this. You couldn't walk very far on the Sabbath. You had to not work on the Sabbath. You had to tithe. Now, you're free to give, not obligated.
Number 5.
Could you explain the hypostatic union of Christ?
The doctrine teaches that in the one person of Christ are two distinct and simultaneous natures, that Jesus is both divine and human. They're not mixed into a new third thing that would be called monophysitism, nor are they mixed so much that you can't distinguish them. That's called Eutychianism. Nor is it the case that the two natures are two persons, a divine person and a human person in the body. That's Nestorianism. Instead, the hypostatic union is that there's one person, there are two natures, and the attributes of those natures are claimed by the one person. So Jesus said, I am thirsty. I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. The same I is speaking.
Number 4.
In Romans chapter 8, there is no condemnation for sin, and that we believers, we won't have a judgment because our judgment has already passed. I listened to Pastor Luther last night. He talked about every believer will have a judgment one-on-one with Jesus.
Yep, that's true.
Okay, so I know the Bible doesn't contradict, so what's...
It's easy. Romans 8:1, the condemnation is talking about is of damnation. We've passed out of that condemnation. The judgment seat is the place where we go and we're judged for the works that we've done. So Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means they're saved. When it talks, for example, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. That does not affect our salvation. Romans 8:1 is about salvation, but the other stuff is about rewards and loss of rewards in heaven.
Number 3.
I have a question.
Why should I believe you?
Here's the thing. You check what I say against Scripture. And if you've listened to me and you listen to others, here's a question to ask. How many of them quote the Scripture references repeatedly? This is where it says this, this is where it says that, this is where it says this. Some people will say, well, pre-tribulation rapture, it's in the Bible, and they leave it. I say, post-tribulation seems to be taught. You go to Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Let's also go to Mark 13 and look at the parable of the wheat and the tares and the election, which is tied in with Ephesians 1, 4. That's what I do. I tell people where the verses are so they can go look.
In other words, so you're post-tribulation church.
Of course.
You take it out.
Yes, but you couldn't believe me. You should believe what the Scriptures say.
Number 2.
And that's why I give references to where things are.
Well, that's what everybody does, though. That's what every... You say shouldn't believe. You should believe what the Scriptures say. Then why are you on the air, then? I mean, that's why we're here.
Paul,
we're listening to what you say.
Paul, the thing is, go check the Word of God. Just like a guy called earlier today, what I talked
about...
That's
not my point. My point is that is a big thing that I see is why would God allow 15 different interpretations? Why would there be...
Because sin is in the world and they're following people and churches instead of Jesus Christ.
Number 1!
Do you affirm or deny the Trinity?
Deny the Trinity.
What is the Trinity?
What is the Trinity?
Yeah, good. Define it. Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to get your rendition of it. Would you like to set up a discussion?
Wait a minute. Okay, you want to discuss the Trinity, but you don't even know what it is?
I'd like to get you a rendition of it.
No, Jerry, I want you to tell me what the Trinity is. There's only one proper definition.
My definition of the Trinity is that it's a man-made doctrine, that it doesn't appear, the triune, the Trinity, these things do not appear in Scripture.
You got me cracking up, Jerry. I asked you what it was. Define it, okay? You're failing to do that.
The Trinity.
So what is it?
The Trinity, I have no idea. I know what they call it, but the definition of the Trinity, I have no idea what it is scripturally.
Well, I think maybe you might want to study it before you say it's not true.
You guys give up, or you're thirsty for more?
And now, the end is near.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
I always trust a guy named Matt Slick on the radio.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Matt Slick's Top 6. For more on Matt and his live syndicated call-in radio show, go to truthnetwork.com. Got a question? Matt Slick has your answer. This is the Truth Network.